on using GIS as a tool to evaluate and monitor California's family planning program, thinking spatially about contraception.
Thank you. I'm actually lucky today because the podium doesn't come up to here. So sometimes I'm the voice from beyond. My name is Sandy Navarro, and I've worked with UCSF Bixby Center for Global Reproductive Health on the Family Pact Program Support and Evaluation Team for about 8 years. And mostly I work with the paid claims and program enrollment data. It's a really rich data set, as Diana Green Foster has already kind of showed you. There's a lot, 10 years of data. My bachelor's degree is in sociology, and recently I've completed a 2-year certificate degree program in geographic information systems. So I'm here to talk to you about how to start thinking spatially about contraceptive and family planning data and how we've done that. In California's family planning program, we are using GIS as one of our evaluation monitoring tools. So I see a few of my co-authors are here today. If you could stand up, it would be really nice to. I see Mary and Marina, and Heike is our director. So thank you. I'm glad you guys are here today. Where's the? You can use the mouse. Okay. And I have no disclosures. Okay, so what is a geographic information system? It's a collection of hardware, software, people, data, and procedures. Perhaps one of the most familiar examples of a GIS you've seen is Yahoo Maps or Google Maps. We've all used this. Here you can see not only Yahoo Maps provided us with a nice picture of a route, but also it has provided some very valuable data. Down here we have the trip distance from point A to point B. That's 4.2 miles, and they estimate about 18 minutes. So that's data right there. That's data coming out of the GIS. So it may contain other pieces of data within this GIS, such as nearby restaurants, or weather conditions, or of course I think most of us have seen the satellite imagery now, or even the street view data where you can see your car in the garage. It's kind of an interesting development in GIS. So this is GIS. It's not just one thing. It's like a piece of software or a technology. It's the human interactions and the process within the system that are really important with the GIS. So what does it mean to do GIS? I just wanted to open up. This is my single project, open up in ArcGIS. So I'm in my cube land staring at my computer. This is what I'm staring at. Some people may be out in the field with a GPS unit, and that also is doing GIS. So I'm not advocating one software over another, but I happen to use ESRI products, and their flagship software is ArcGIS. So this is an ArcGIS system open. So over on the left, you can see that doing GIS could involve managing data layers, for example. Those are all the different layers that you see. I'm just kind of zoom into it a little bit more. This may be point locations of clients or providers. You may have area boundaries like county, zip code, census tract. So these are what we call layers of information. And there's different views of this. And then you have tools, functions, and sometimes models. So for example, in the toolbox, I may pull out a tool from the toolbox to calculate distances or standardize a set of addresses, like our provider addresses or something like that. So it's a system. It's a geographic information system. And then on the right, you see the spatial view of the data. So this isn't a particularly pretty map. You know, everybody thinks of a GIS as map making. And essentially, this is just a spatial view of the raw data. Rather than looking at it in terms of layers, we're looking at it in terms of where it is in California. And so the cartography side of it, cartography being the art and science of map making, may be completely irrelevant to your project. And sometimes you spend hours and hours to make a nice presentation piece, and the cartography is quite important. Diana went over this slide quite nicely. Thank you, Diana. This is California's Family Pact program, and it's a huge program. We've got over 2,000 providers that are enrolled in the program. And then, of course, all of our Medi-Cal providers, the clinicians, pharmacies, laboratories. We are a state Medicaid expansion waiver. There are 26 other programs in the nation, so I won't go into this too much, but we are one of them. We consider ourselves one of the leaders in the nation in providing comprehensive services and being quite inclusive. Okay, so what's so special about contraceptive data? A lot of you guys also feel contraceptive data is special. So here I'm here to talk about what's spatial about it. So to answer this question, I want to start by introducing you to the concept of spatial data and what that means. And then I'm going to spend a bit of time showing you how we have used that for evaluation and monitoring. And then finally, just some real-world examples of what we've done. The spatial data refers to information related to a location anywhere on the Earth's surface. Basically, the computer knows two things. One, the location of that feature, for example, a provider and where they're at on Earth. And then it would know some kind of descriptive attribute about that location. For example, is that provider, are they a clinician? Are they a pharmacy? Are they high volume? Are they low volume? So this is the descriptive part of it that's so valuable, not just the location. So essentially, where is it on Earth and what is it? So most of our data starts out as tabular data. And this is like our list of provider addresses or a number of clients in a zip code, for example. And then typically I would convert that tabular information into a vector format. Vector data is your points, your lines, your areas. Sometimes the areas are called polygons. So essentially, you could start with a provider address and geocode that to a point. And so now it's vector data. It started as tabular data in just an Excel spreadsheet, and now we have a point. And then finally, one of the third examples I wanted to show you is a raster data format. This is the continuous surface maps. You might be used to seeing these like weather maps. The weather doesn't stop at a county boundary. And this is raster data when you have this nice continuous smooth surface. And we could use raster data in terms of hotspots in terms of teen births, for example. So this is all what it means to be spatial data. So what kind of data in Family Pact do we have? Well, we have a lot. It's 10 years of paid medical claims records. That's 135 million records. And in terms of client enrollment, there's about 8 million client enrollment records with all the demographic information. Provider enrollment records, that's about 500,000 provider enrollment records. And this is the labs, pharmacies, clinics. And then, of course, we have our enrolled provider database. These are our core providers in the program, and we maintain that database in-house. And we also use data from special studies we've conducted and other California-specific data sets like the birth statistical master file and Medi-Cal data. Okay, so that was our data. What's our spatial data? So at the client level, we're looking at zip code of residence, county, and then, of course, the location of services they received. And then at our enrolled provider level, we maintain our in-house database of provider site addresses, and we have a pretty good process in place now to keep that updated. And at the state level, we now have access to a central GIS server within the Department of Public Health, and we're working on centralized geocoding tools. This is really great because previously, just a couple of years ago, we were all acquiring our own spatial data for California. So, for example, county boundaries, those don't change much. But, and they're really huge data files. So if I'm storing it And there's 30 other departments in the California Department of Public Health, 30 other units that are also storing it. It really doesn't make sense because we're all using slightly different versions of, for example, zip codes or census tracts or counties. So it's really, really, really great. Saves us a lot of time that we now have a central place for that. So how are we using GIS to support and evaluate Family Pact? Well, I just wanted to show you, this is one of our fact sheets, our glossy. Dissemination of findings is really important task, and maps are really, really effective for that. They've been really well received. People can digest the big picture quite quickly. And if you want a copy of this, there's one in the back. And then we also have used it internally to look at access issues or, well, actually lack of access. And then sometimes we look at health outcomes like teen births and STI testing and treatment. So quickly, I wanted to give you some examples. I'm not here today to focus on specific projects, but rather help you to start thinking spatially about contraceptive data and get familiar with that concept of asking spatial questions. We're innovative in our use of GIS, not just because of our techniques in GIS, well, actually not at all in our techniques in GIS, but really it's about using GIS in family planning. It's just, there's not many of us out there. There are no roadmaps. We don't have too many cartographic conventions in how you might represent emergency contraception, for example. Not too many peers to talk to or collaborate with. So that's really what, that's the innovation right there. I'm not doing anything particularly brilliant with a GIS. So here's one of a really simple map to understand. This is our 21 agencies that were funded to do targeted outreach to adolescents. And I say were because this budget that was recently signed, we lost the program. Yeah. So if you're from a small state, it may seem like 21 is quite a lot, but when you see them in terms of the geographic context, you could see we weren't covering much of California to start with. And this is an example of building buffer zones around point locations. So each ring there, each different colored ring is a 10-mile radius. And really, we just wanted to demonstrate the, you know, not necessarily exactly where they're doing outreach, but to give you an idea of the coverage. So those are called buffer zones. And then the concept of reference data is really important. I've used two pieces of reference data here. One is the county boundaries. If I didn't add that layer of county boundaries, you may not have a concept of what's going on there. And then I also put in some elevation data, just to give you a concept of, you know, high in the mountains, there's probably nobody there. So thank you. I'm going to skip this one. We call this our overview map. Okay, so this is an example of a choropleth map, which is based on data aggregated over a previously defined region. In this case, it's California counties. Of all female clients in the program, 21% were dispensed emergency contraception, either on-site from a clinician or through a pharmacy. There is, however, notable geographic variation through the state. The darker counties are those with the higher percent of clients dispensed EC. And this geographic variability may indicate an absence of supplies and or providers willing or able to dispense EC, whether that's on-site or at a pharmacy. Other explanations could include provider billing issues, free samples, client preference or demand, but this one helps demonstrate the issues. Sterilization is a really important, and access to sterilization is an important issue in our program. This one is about vasectomy provider locations and geographic access. We also did a companion map about tubal ligation facilities. And I understand this one's probably pretty hard to see. So I've zoomed in a little bit here to Southern California. The circles there indicate the vasectomy clinic locations. And then we've done sizes of the circles to represent the client volume. So for example, down in San Diego, we have two small and one medium providers. And then just to give you an idea of the need in the area, we have these tiny little dots, and each dot there indicates 25 male clients in the program. So when it comes to client location, do be very careful about protecting confidentiality. Masking is important, and in this case, one dot represents 25 male clients in a zip code, but we've suppressed the zip code, so you're not actually seeing the boundary of the zip code. Okay, so what else is so special about GIS? So making maps is where we started with GIS in our program, and I want to move on and talk about some of the basic unique analysis options you can do with a GIS. These aren't standard functions you might find in SAS or Access, Data, these kind of things. Some of those programs do have some GIS functionality, but this is spatial selection, spatial join, and spatial analysis. So let's see. So spatial query and sometimes it's called spatial selection functions, can be used in conjunction with attribute selections. So for example, in this case study, we have the red dot is an isolated provider that is unable to locate nearby providers to refer its clients for vasectomy services after dozens of calls to the closest providers. And here's the closest providers. You could spend all day calling them. So in the dark blue dots are those providers that can do vasectomy services. So by using these geocoded points of the nearest providers with some data flags that identify which had a paid claim for vasectomy services, we can output a list. We can output a list and send that off to the provider, or we can even output it or export it to SAS and do some analysis of some sort. Okay, so getting tabular data out of a GIS, and this isn't a map, this is a list. So we've started out with some rural and urban areas that they're called medical service study areas. The Office of Statewide Health Planning and Development has done a great job in identifying these areas for us so we can use them. So we want to know which of my IUC providers are located in rural areas. They're in my study. So we've geocoded those points and overlaid them with the rural and urban areas. And through a spatial join, we can essentially tag on that information and export that list. And the authors of that study happened to find that providers located in rural areas were more likely to offer IUCs to their clients than in urban areas. Estimating the number of providers per square mile to show density. This happens to be Orange County. This is an example of the raster formatted data that I talked about. It's the continuous surface. In this case, it's continuous across zip codes. I've put the zip codes in there as some reference data. And this was created using a spatial analysis technique called kernel density estimation, or sometimes it's called KDE. Provider locations are those point locations are interpolated into continuous values across the Earth's surface. So there's a lot of potential with this kind of analysis, like hotspots, areas in need. Okay, challenges. There's plenty. So there's certainly lack of precedence in established applications of GIS within the context of publicly funded family planning programs. Some of my first maps were cartographically terrible. I mean, but you got to start somewhere, and everybody loved them. So then I got some real cartographic training and looked back on them, and, well, you know, they served their function at the time. Collaboration is really, really important given the limited resources and the complexity of GIS. Be sure to get involved with your local GIS user groups. A lot of those folks are from the environmental sciences, but I found them to be great, really nice, friendly people that want to share resources whenever possible. And then finally, HIPAA-protected data. You kind of get easy to get caught up in what you can do with a GIS, and you forget about what you shouldn't do with the GIS. So according to HIPAA, geographic coordinates are indeed personal identifiers. A dot on a map for a client or an incident, that would be a breach of confidentiality. And in conclusion, spatial data can be created from administrative data to develop tools that inform policies and intervention strategies. Don't underestimate the power of a map. Picture was worth 1,000 words. Never underestimate the time, training, and resources. It really is an investment. If you think that you may just have a limited need for GIS, look to your universities. Within the geography department, often they will have a GIS center, and they are happy to take your data and turn it into a pretty map, and you can do that on a contract basis. And of course, there's always broad solutions to balance the conflicting goals of spatial analysis and protecting client confidentiality. You can do some geomasking or aggregation. You can randomize where the dot lands within a quarter mile, for example. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact me. I like to think I'm one of those friendly GIS people. Thank you.